let's go in our Bibles. Go with me, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 3
and verse number 20. Ephesians 3 and 20. One of the books that I have that has been written from this ministry by this pastor is entitled The Power in You. It has gone around the world. Leaders have used it to be able to teach believers. Believers have used it to empower themselves. And it's based on this scripture here in Ephesians 3:20, which says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." It says now, which is a now, it's a present tense designation. Now to him who is able. And last week I said most of us have disabled God. We've basically in our lives disqualified God from our lives. We poo-poo God, as it were. We just say that's not important. Having God in my life is not an important thing. It's not like we would say that, but in our actions and our seriousness about the things of God, we're like that. I believe people have more reverence for the IRS than from God Almighty. I believe a letter from the IRS gets people's attention more than a scripture from the Word of God. That if you got a letter certified from the IRS, I've gotten them in the past, you get a certified letter saying they're going to garnish your wages, or they're going to lien your property, take over your business, close your bank accounts, and confiscate all the money, I think you would give that some attention. The IRS is the best and the biggest and the most successful collection agency in the world. But we serve a God that has more power than the IRS. Thank God that we are a 501c3, registered by the IRS, going against negativity against them and staying strong and positive with their code of ethics based on the 501c3 chapter of the IRS code, and having a fiduciary responsibility over all of the funds that come through here, living a life that's upstanding and above reproach. But I don't think we should put the government above God. I thank God for this government. I've been other places all over the world. I love the United States of America. We're studying, though, faith. That's what we're studying. Simply that one word, faith. And why are we studying this? And I believe because the Spirit of the Lord put it in my heart. Because this scripture speaks of that. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, the caveat is here, according to the power that works in us. Personalizing that. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. So you just can't think anything and think you're going to receive from God. It is ask. You can't just ask anything. It has to be according to the will of God. Or think according to the power. According to the power, according to the power, according to the power, according to the power, according to the power that works in you. There's power working in you, for you or against you right now. Now, if we're going to really, truly do what God would have us to do, we have to first do what God had me to be able to, well, he had me to bring to you last week, and that is to stop blaming God. A lot of times when things go bad, we blame God. Things go good, we blame ourselves. If it wasn't for my education, if it wasn't for my skills on the job, shut up. Now unto him, put it in the King James Version. Now unto him, it's unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. How do you exceed abundant? There is a level of existence that most of us have never even thought of living. And that is what I'm preaching on you. A level of abundance that you are not even a thought when it comes to receiving. You are so taken care of until you're not even considered. We don't need to consider ourselves. Because we are just there for a flow, for God to receive glory and people to receive help. You got to love people enough to want to help them. And a lot of us love ourselves and we help ourselves, but you got to get to the point where it's exciting to help other people. Help other people to live right. You shouldn't be one to keep them from receiving the blessings of God. Some of you, what you have told people has been wrong. It's against God. It is not the truth. And when they find out what the truth is, they're going to come back to you and be angry with you. And say, you should have told me the truth. Because you need to be helping people toward God, not apologizing because they got to live for God. Especially if they're Christians. I get accused of being mean. I love it. That means I'm straight. Uncompromising, straightforward, but loving. And the loving comes, and that's expressed by me being uncompromising on the Word of God. Let's just do what the Word says. Being straightforward on serving God based on the Word. That's the love. That's my expression of love toward you. Man, because if you do this thing right and God gets pleased, you are going to love me. You're going to just love your pastor. It's like this guy didn't compromise. He told me the truth. And look at my life now. Woo! See, because we're here to tell you the truth. We're here to give you the truth. Because the truth of the matter is you need to stop blaming God. Faith is up to you. God gives us a measure of faith enough to get saved. But once you get saved, it's up to you to build on that faith. And faith comes. Romans says, faith comes by hearing. But if faith comes, faith can go. You're using faith right now to sit in that chair. It's background faith. In the back of your mind, you're still believing that chair is going to hold you up. And based on your weight, you're using more or less faith. Now, I've said this before today, but I'm going to repeat it again. You're using background faith to drive your car. Now think about it. You put an app on your phone or on your iPad, maybe even your computer. And that app will ask you, do you want this app? Sometimes they'll ask, do you want this app to be always running? or only when you're using the app, or never. The app of faith is always running in your life. You're always having faith running, whether you think it or not. You have faith when you go to the grocery store. If you read the newspaper today or hear a report about a shooting in a certain area, when you drive in that area, you're using faith to believe you're going to get out of that area. And here in the Parkland, Spanaway, Summit area, it's been quite often, and I don't like to say that, we're praying this down. But you got to use faith when you eat your food. I pray you do pray. Because some people may want to kill you. Not on purpose, they just are nasty people and they didn't clean their hands or something and you can get E. coli, or they didn't cook the food right, or they left it sitting out on the counter where it picked up bacteria. And if you eat it and it's not cooked properly to kill the bacteria, you're going to get sick and perhaps even die. You have to use faith eating. You said I do, but for how long? How long will you do before you don't do? You know what I'm talking about. I did do, but I don't do anymore because this is not worth do. Never mind. Marriage is not worth. Anyhow, you gotta do I do for the rest of the two of you. We've been I doing for 52. But now that we've gotten to 52, we say 53. So we always speak by faith the next year once we reach that year. We've been doing it for decades. This is our way of using our faith for our marriage. So that when it gets hot in between one number and the next, we remember we're speaking the next number. So right now, you will not hear us talking about that we are 52 years marriage. We will talk about we're going on 53. We speak those things that be not as though they were, as if we're 53 years. Now, that's just our way of using it for marriage. You can do what you want. You can talk about your fire tomorrow. You keep saying it, they're going to get a good suggestion in their mind to fire you. Faith works in you. Please write that down. Faith works in me. That's where faith works. People say, well, how do I work my faith? You work you. We got to put you to work. Believing. Because it's up to you. Stop blaming God. Stop blaming God for all your problems. You know, and people do that all the time. They go through all kinds of challenges. Then you question them down. You know, I'm like an investigator. I'm sort of like Columbo. I don't seem like I'm an investigator. But the first business I had was when I was 12 years old was a security business. Little kids were beating up the tractors. Controls, all the meters on the tractors. And I just watched them. Little kids about my age, about 12 years old. And I went to the construction people where Walter Heinemann ended up living into the apartments that they were constructing at the time. His mother moved into there. And I told him, I said, hey, listen, are you tired of your tractors getting beat up every weekend? You know who you need? You need Don Shorter, the investigator, that will watch those little kids and even act like he's with those little kids. While he goes home and calls 911, which wasn't 911 back then. It was just call the cops, dial zero. And then I'll tell you who they are. We didn't have phones with cameras on them, so I couldn't take pictures. But I would tell them it was Harry. Harry plays over here. In fact, Harry's mother lives right over there. And Harry's mother has enough money to pay for your tractors to get fixed. I did that so well for about a year until I turned 13, and then they hired me to work with their paid armed security at 13 years old. And I rode in their little security car. And I'll never forget, we were over by McElvey Junior High School, about 10, 11 o'clock at night, finishing off his shift. And a car came there and was acting very crazy, and the guy, the police guy got out, told me to stay in the car. And I stayed in the car. And he got out, and somehow he put his hand on his gun, and it went off. Kaboom. And all I remembered was code 31, shots fired. So I ran over to our little security shack and called the cops. And they came from everywhere. Shots fired, the officer involved. God will help you in whatever you do. But you got to have people that are helping you. Now, the cares of this world, I'm going somewhere with this, the cares of this world causes you to sometimes get distracted from the Word of God. And you have to learn, the truth of the matter is that it's up to you to have faith. You can't let the things that go on around us, because there's many more things than what I dealt with at 12 and 13 years old in my security business. There's many more things going on around us, and we can let the cares of this world and the deceitful of riches enter in and choke the Word of God. And that's why we're not effective. The sower sows, plants the Word methodically again and again until the rows are straight, looks like for miles. That's a sower that sows the Word. You're consistently using the Word of God. Are you hearing me? The power is in you to do this. You got to be your own policeman. You got to police yourself. You can't let people get you off track of the things of God. It's important for you to not get distracted from being the sower that sows the Word on a consistent basis. Did you hear what I just said? Say amen then. Because faith is up to you. Did you get that? You might want to write that down. Faith is up to me. Now, that's true. Faith is up to you. God has all the faith you can ever imagine. He spoke the worlds into existence. The worlds, meaning the universe. They are still creating. The worlds are still, we're still seeing planets birth off of the word that God said one time. What about your world? You're made in the image and the likeness of God. What are your words doing? With faith behind your words, you can see some great things happening. You can see miraculous, even things that are exceeding abundantly. That's even above exceeding abundantly. What you're even asking or thinking, watch this now. Let me just, I wrote the book on this, The Power in You. God gave me the revelation on this after a person came into our ministry and got healed of cancer that was supposed to die in five weeks. She had five children and a husband. And God gave this revelation to me about the power in you at that time. And I wrote the book, The Power in You. It says, now unto him that is able, don't disable God. He's able to do. God is not an excuse maker. He's looking to do something in your life. And a lot of us, we talk a big game, but we don't do much. I want to say, shut up and put up. Do something. Stop just talking stuff. A lot of us talk a big game, but when it comes to showing up for the game, can't find you. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in personalizing it, you. So if you got the power working in you, you're really believing, and you're still not making it to where you know God has another level for you, I want to ask you, who is the who in your life that's stopping you? There's got to be a who that stops you. Let's put on a Columbo overcoat and find out who that is. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Now we're going to go over to Mark chapter 4, which is where we left off last time, but we got to do this investigation now. God gives you a vision. You have a vision for your life, or a vision for your family, or a vision for your business. He has put you in the vision of Pacific Christian Center. Do you know you're part of this vision? That God will bless you because you bless this vision. That the blessings of God will come into your life and increase because of your involvement with this church, which is his vision. That the same power and anointing, the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God is what the anointing is. It removes burdens off of you. It destroys yokes that would hold you back. That anointing is on this church and the vision of this church. So when you participate by assignment from God that keeps sending you to this church, that anointing comes on you to where burdens that normally would hold you back, they are released from you. Yokes that would hold you back, they no longer have any ability to hold you back. It is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. When you get involved with this vision, God gets involved with yours. The more you put into this vision, because you're assigned here. You don't keep coming here for nothing. You are assigned here. You have to get on with what God's called you to do here. I can't tell you what that is. God tells you, and you tell us. Now, it says in Galatians chapter 5 and 7, because some people get started with this faith stuff and get just hindered, messed up, stopped. We're supposed to run with the vision, run with the word of God. I am not walking, and this is what gets people. They say, Pastor, you need to slow down. No, I don't. I'm going to run until my days are done. And some of y'all are like, well, but now when it comes to other stuff, when it comes to getting to work tomorrow, well, you run over people. You know what I'm talking. You got to get that $20 an hour. You got to get that job. Because they're going to pay you $20 an hour. You know, and $40 after 2 hours, $60 after 3 hours. So you got to get there. You're going to work a whole day. Come on now. $20 an hour, whole day, that's $160. Are you kidding me? You work 2 weeks, that's $1,600. Shoot now. We work a whole month. We got 3,200 big bucks in our pocket, except for the taxes and the insurance they take out for her and the medical and for my uniform, my union dues. And so I guess I ain't make that much. That's not your source. God is your source. And as I was telling you earlier, as we were studying about the offering, God has many ways to get to you, not just by you earning. You will never, watch my lips, you will never get everything that God has for you with your little hands working. It will never happen. God has so much to come to you, you're going to have to learn how to use some faith on God just giving it to you. You don't even care how. You don't even care how. It doesn't matter how. Because you know the who. You know the who. You ain't got to worry about the how. Most of y'all trying to do the how and you don't know the who. Because it's according to who you're listening to. And you need to start listening to him. He's your who. But I'm going to show you some more you who's you got in your life. And you need to get rid of some you-hoos. Galatians 5, 7. You did run well. You did really good with your faith. Who hindered you? That's my question. You did well. You got started. You heard the word of God. You got saved. You started running. But who hindered you? Not what hinder you, because whatever is hindering you came from a who. And so you know what I started doing? I just started checking my who's all around me. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you doing? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? How you get there? What's your name? Who? Who are you? See, because we let too many people in our circle that can hinder us. I ain't say from walking, I'm talking about running. You should be running with the vision that God has given you. Don't get mad at me because I got excitement. But let me just say this also. Excitement is not commitment. We lit this church building on fire today, there'd be excitement in the neighborhood. Everybody would run here to see the fire. Watch the building burn and the fire people see if they're going to get hurt. They're going to be all right going to fight that fire. Excitement would be all over the city. The news would come out here. They'd cover it. They'd put the cameras up. They'd bring the helicopters. And there's a fire. 3211, no, it's not. But anyhow, you know what I'm talking about. But excitement is not commitment. Because when we get ready to rebuild the next day, they ain't showing up. So it's one thing to be excited. It's another thing to be committed. So who hindered you? You did run well. I got to give it to you. But who is hindering you right now? You know in your mind some people that's keeping you from God. And I'm telling you, if you are telling people things that are not out of the Word of God, you're hindering people from the truth. God is not pleased with you. You need to get it out of the way. My mom used to say this all the time. I don't want to be no stumbling block for nobody. I don't want to be no stumbling block. She had a reason to say that. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want people to stumble because of me. She would say it all the time. Who is hindering you? Who is stopping you? It's not what. Well, if I stop drinking. No, somebody is your drinking buddy. If I just stop fornicating. No, somebody is encouraging you to continue. It's a hard saying, folks. But we're going to have to check some who's. Who are you? And what you here to do? Are you here to help me? Or do you really want to tackle my faith and keep me from receiving the blessings of God to where I stand up and talk about I used to be in debt, but God delivered me. I got faithful with my tithing and giving, and look at me now. I can give to whoever I want to give to and not even think about it. I can eat wherever I want to eat and don't care what the menu price is. I can enjoy. I can drive. I can buy what I want to buy. I can live like I want to live. And I'm not displeasing God. I'm loving God at the same time. Who hindered you? Watch this. You better check. I had to check. I check all the time now. I want to know, people want to get close to me for what? What you want? You here to help push me to God or pull me back because I'm getting too fast on you? Because we're supposed to run. You did run well. And some of you used to run. Now you're down to a trickle, a jog. And then you went down to a trot. Now you're down to a crawl. The walk sign comes on the corner of the street, comes on, little white guy on the little sign. And you just stand there because you can barely make it across the street. God wants you to run. Oh, I hear that excitement. So nice to be in this Presbyterian church. Y'all need to wake up. You have no reason to not be thankful to God. You have no reason to not be praising God. You have no reason. You don't know how you should have died this week. You don't know how God protected you. We should be planning a funeral for you. But God delivered you. And part of it was the prayers from the intercessors of this church. We were taking off from New Orleans. I'm a pilot. Thunderstorms came in. Serious thunderstorms. And they weren't moving fast like the ones when we were landing. We got there before the thunderstorms came in because it's that time of the year. It's hurricane season in the south and the southeast. And I'm sitting there saying, Kathy, we should not take off. See, because that's why I became a pilot, because I know I'm going all over the world and I want to be able to be the one making the go or no-go decision on the aircraft I take. You can go, I ain't going. I ain't stupid. So I'm looking at this weather, and I'm checking because I got a strike finder of where the strikes are hitting, lightning strikes. Within 20 miles, you shouldn't even get in the airplane if it's within 20 miles of where you are. They were hitting 13 miles from us. I said, Kathy, this pilot cannot take off. Now, he could have been stupid. The company probably would have stopped him, but he could have been stupid. Like somebody else that I got an article from the same day. It took off into a thunderstorm, 6 people, 1 died, all 5 others are injured. Because thunderstorms don't last that long. See, when we get in trouble with thunderstorms in life, we do stupid stuff. Instead of sitting back and saying, Lord, what should I do? We go do stupid stuff. Well, we sat there, and all of a sudden, pilot comes on and says, this is a slow-moving storm. It's over us. We cannot take off. We will not take off right now. Just relax, and we'll just wait for a while. Then the storm started moving. As the storm started moving one direction, they switched the landing to the opposite direction. We took off, which is what we should have done, going away from that storm and turned around, had enough altitude, and the last time we looked at it, it was below us. You need to know what God is doing in your life. You need to be able to have God in your life. If you're going to run, you need to not be hindered by people saying, go on, you can do it. No, God ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter that you have a little six. You can drink some. The Bible says they drank wine. You lust you. You lying. Why don't you read the other scriptures? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whoever is deceived thereby is a fool. Did you read that one too? Did you read that no fornicator enters into the kingdom of heaven? Did you read that all liars are in the lake of fire? You can't just live any kind of way. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, and not just about the word. Think about your life. Think about the way you're living. Think of who is hindering you. And you know who the who is sometimes? They're sitting in your seat. You're the one that's hindering you. If you get out of the way of God, God will be able to do something in our lives. Because God wants to do some mighty things. Oh, you just don't know. I can see it. It's almost like Christmas in my spirit. God wants to just have you just opening up gift after gift after gift. Beautiful spiritual and physical things going on in your life where you turn around, you got to give God the glory. Say, look at what happened to me. Once you get locked in with God, with your faith, living according to the things of God and no longer hindered by who, Tom, Dick, and Harry, whoever they are, as soon as you divorce yourself from them bozos, you're going to see it. I'm preaching harder than y'all saying amen, but I ain't preaching for you anyhow. I'm preaching for the Lord. You happen to be here. Let me finish this off. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Question, do you obey the truth? Sure is quiet up in here. See, I expected in a church meeting, people would be, yeah, Pastor, that's what I believe. Do you live by the truth of the word of God, or are we trying to skate through making the kingdom of God, making that a hobby? God don't want you to make being a Christian a hobby. He wants you, come on now, keep it up here. Come on, we got it covered. He wants you to be serious about the things of God. Now, next week we're going to get together. And we're going to find out what the cares of this world does for us, because we let people hinder us, and sometimes they bring to us the cares that they're dealing with, and that's what we end up having to care about. Sometimes we're so distracted, we can't even live our lives according to the things of God. You know why? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your healing power, your power working in this woman. In Jesus' name, we call it done. We call it done. I said, we call it done. Amen. Many times what is happening is that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, Mark chapter 4, choke the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. Do you know that we can allow things to cause the word of God, as powerful as it is, to become unfruitful, to where it doesn't even yield anymore? What we have to do is we have to make a decision. We're not letting, I'm letting no Tom, Dick, Harry, whoever it is, hinder me. So you got to start checking. What are you here for? And really sit down by yourself. Do this week. Sit down by yourself and decide, is so-and-so really helping me toward the things of God? Is so-and-so helping me? Look at your circle of who's. Who, well, this who, that who, I know what you do. That ain't helping. Are they pushing you toward the Lord or pulling you back from God? Y'all heard what I said? So next week, we're going to deal with the cares of this world, because there's a lot of things going on consistently. And if you get so tied up in the cares of this world, you will not be able to have the word work in your life. It will choke the word. And some of us, we're getting tied up with a bunch of who's that got a bunch of cares, because they're not living according to the things of God. So things are happening. You got to understand, when you live disobedient, things are going to happen. That's not good. When you live according to the devil, you're going to receive what the devil receives. But that's why you should be living for God. Jesus was sent here. God sent his son so that you could live right. He came to send him here to give you life and it more abundantly. He sent his son, said, die for them so you could have a life, your life be a wonderful life. Why waste your time living a funky life, a wasted life, a boring life, a life of sin, a life of trying to be able to act like you're a Christian, but you're not? That is the most phony baloney thing you can do. If you're not a Christian, don't try to be one until you want to become one. Go to hell with bells on. Just enjoy your way to hell. I was walking through New Orleans, which Jesse Duplantis calls Sin City. He's from New Orleans. He got a church in New Orleans. It's Sin City. People come down there to dress like a hoe. Even people that's normal people come down there and dress like hoes. You can see their underwear. The boobs are hanging all over their stomach. Ridiculous. And we were walking through Canal Street, went down another street, I think it was Magazine Street, heading to a restaurant. And the Lord said, you're going to have to realize that some people want to go to hell. Newsflash for me. I didn't think nobody wanted to go. He said, there are people that are living their lives because they want to go to hell. Did you hear what I just said? Come on now. They want to go to hell. They don't care. God don't want you to do anything but enjoy this life and enjoy the next life even more. I'm not going to waste my time with people that want to go to hell. I'm not going to take their desire from them. All I'm going to do is give them an option. You don't have to go to hell. And I know most churches don't even talk about hell because they want people coming to their church. But you got to understand. And I'll use him as an example because the Lord said that to me. He said, Jesse Duplantis just went to heaven. You went to hell first, then you went to heaven. Because I want you to talk about both. Because you got a choice based on how you live. Not just based on what you pray. Jesus Christ, come into my life, be my Lord, be my Savior. Woo, I'm not going to hell. Praise God, I can live like the devil now. It don't work that way. This is supposed to be a life, the life of God in you. I was born in a Marine hospital, and that's why I talk like this. So don't look at me. I talk like one of God's soldiers. And you need to act like God's army. Come on, give God praise in Jesus' name. All right, let's give a confession. Let's say, God, today, help me to identify all the who's in my life. The who's that love you and the who's that do not. God, help me to analyze my relationship with every person around me who talks to me, walks with me, lives with me, shares with me, cares for me. Help me, God, to get to know the who's in my life. God, show me who is hindering me so that I can know how to get free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God, today, let me run again. Come on, say it like me. Let me run again. Let me run again for you, Lord. I'm tired of walking. I'm tired of crawling. I'm tired of just barely making it. Let me run with you, and I'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some praise in this house. Father, I seal this time right now in the name of Jesus. I call it sealed in Jesus' name. The word that has been received, I call the blessings of God upon the lives of these people. As they apply this word, cause signs to follow. Signs of blessings and prosperity. Good things happening upon their lives in the name of Jesus. Cause it to be clear that you're with them to deliver them. And God, identify the who's that are good and the who's that need to leave out of their lives. In Jesus' name, we call it done.